Form of the Lord is clearly explained to be an imaginary form offered to the new thought, meditation on God. Those who intensively and fearlessly are totally unable to understand that the Supreme Personality Godhead is actually captured in Anuvigraha, or eternal or bliss of knowledge, transcendental to the exhibition of material energy. Therefore, to encourage such gross materialists to become faithful theists, the Vedic literature instructs them to meditate upon the physical universe as the gigantic body of the Supreme Lord. This pantheistic conception does not reflect the ultimate reality of the Supreme Lord, but is a technique to bring the mind gradually toward God. Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted the following verse as evidence that Lord Brahma is supposed to go back to Godhead at his time of annihilation. Brahmana sahate sabhe samprapte patishanjane arashante kritak manaham padishante parandam. At the time of the final annihilation, all self-realized souls enter within Brahma, enter with Brahma into the supreme abode. At the time of the final mission, all self-realized souls. Since Brahman is sometimes considered the best devotee of the Supreme Lord, he surely should obtain liberation rather than merely entering into the unmanifest state of material nature called Vyakta. In this connection, Srila Siddhartha Swami points out that there is a class of non-devotees who attain the planet of Brahman by performing Ashwamedha yajnas and other sacrifices. And in certain cases, Brahman himself may not be a devotee of the Supreme Personality Godhead. So the words of Gautama, Vishate Sukshmam, can be understood to indicate that such a non-devotee Brahman cannot enter the spiritual sky, despite having achieved the ultimate universal status and material expertise. But when Brahman is a devotee of the Supreme Personality Godhead, the word of Gautama can be taken to indicate the spiritual sky. Since the spiritual sky is not manifest to the conditioned souls, it may also be considered a vyakta. If even more than Mark cannot enter the kingdom of God without surrendering to the Supreme Personality Godhead, then what to speak about all of other so-called pious or expert non-devotees? In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that there are three categories within the status of a Mark, namely those of Kami, Jnani, and Devotee. A Brahman who is mostly soul of Kami of the universe will have to come back to this material world. A living entity who has achieved the post of Brahman by being the greatest speculative philosopher within the universe, maintain impersonal liberation. And a living entity who has been awarded the post of Brahman due to being a great devotee of the Supreme Personality Godhead, enters into the personal abode of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.32.15, yet another case is described. A Brahman who is a devotee of the Lord, but who has the tendency to think himself independent or equal to the Lord, may achieve Mahavishnu's abode as at the time of annihilation. But when creation begins again, he has to return and again take the post of Brahman. The word used in this case is Veda Dushya, which refers to the tendency to think oneself independently powerful. The various destinations possible for such an evolved living entity as Lord Brahma definitely prove that any material condition is worthless for guaranteeing an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna promises that if one gives up all other so-called obligations and surrenders to the devotional service of the Lord will personally protect him and bring him back to the supreme abode in the spiritual sky. It is futile and foolish to try to achieve perfection by one's own strenuous endeavour and not surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Such a blind attempt is described in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as Vahulayasam, indicating that it is work in a material mode of passion. Brahman is the Lord of passion, and his creation and management of the entire universe are certainly Vahulayasam, or strenuous endeavour, in the most exalted sense. But all such passionate work, even that of Lord Brahma, is ultimately useless without surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Sitarashayanavshi bhavishya yubana buhi takalo pachitoshnako Lokam Stream Pata Fishati. As cosmic annihilation approaches, a terrible drought takes place on Earth for 100 years. For 100 years, the heat of the sun gradually increases, and the blazing heat begins to torment the three worlds. So, this is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam, is that it is three colored yard, it knows past, present, and future. So, as Prabhupada would say, there is no competition, there is no comparison, there is no competition. Every word of the Bhagavatam is to the benefit of all human beings. Because we can't find such knowledge, such description of the universe, of time, of universal administration. So precisely in such precise detail as contained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It just places one in perfect perspective of what is the goal of life and what is our position, what is reality. It's described in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. It establishes what is the truth by reality distinguished from illusion. So these particular verses are describing what is to come in the future and how things are operating in this material world, what takes place, what is the process of time, and basically how everything is under Krishna's control, under the supreme control of Krishna and his representatives, the demigods. So we think we've got it bad now, maybe like 5 years of drought, but the best is yet to come. So it's going to be a drought of 100 years. And then the sun is going to increase more and more, 100 years. And then the three worlds will be tormented. So as Krishna said, Sukhavayama Shashvatam, this material world, it's a place, it's temporary and it's full of misery. It's not a fit place for a gentleman. So, as Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, when you go to the latrine, you just do your business and you get out. You don't stay there. And my father used to read the newspaper and he didn't get out. So this is all hindrance to get out of this material world, suffering. But it also helps us appreciate the grandeur of God, that there's going to be something like there's going to be a fire for 100 years, and then it's going to be a flood for 100 years. So we're so insignificant on this planet. It's like we think we're so important walking down the street, and I'm such a big person. But as soon as you go up on a plane and you look down, our existence is like the air, Even if the whole city was wiped, the whole suburb was wiped out, it wouldn't really mean anything. So what to speak of, from a demigod's point of view, our existence is so insignificant. So, it's also described here that from Patal Loka, the fire goes in the mouth of Lord Sankarshan. So as we know, Lord Sankarshan, he's residing at the bottom half of the universe. I think he's residing on the coastal ocean, or the Garbhodaka ocean, because half the universe is filled with water. Because at the time of creation, Mahavishnu fills up half the universe with water from his perspiration, and many lies down in that causal ocean, that Garbhadaka ocean. And he's lying at some, I think that's Sankarshan. And he's lying on the Nandashesh. And the Nandashesh is holding all the universes on the hoods of his different heads. But he's not even aware of the universes. They're so insignificant to him. And it says that he emanates, he fires the flames at the time of annihilation from Nandashesh. It says he's in the mouth of Lord Sankarshan, so Sankarshan is not the name of Nandashesh. It says here from the mouth of Lord Sankarshan, so if it was mouths, that would be another shesh, but it's mouth. They're driven by great winds and scorching earth in all directions. So, even though God is all compassionate and He's always our well-wisher and filling for the welfare of His living entities, it seems here that at the time of annihilation, He just doesn't seem that he doesn't care, he just annihilates everything. Because ultimately, of course, from Krishna's point of view, everything is spiritual. So, and to annihilate the material of the cosmos, it doesn't probably mean anything to him. Well, I'm just speculating, sorry. But ultimately also, everything that God does is all good, because God is all good. So, this may seem terrible, but everything God does is for His pleasure also, so He also derives some pleasure from this as well. Prabhupada one time said that Krishna, He could just annihilate the entire universe and it wouldn't mean anything to Him, because He could just create another one. But Krishna said God is never disturbed by anything. He's always the enjoyer, the supreme enjoyer. So even everything in material creation is also, it's wonderful. It's all attractive, you know, like there's a Sankarshan form and there's clouds called Samantha clouds, four times the rain for 100 years. Huge raindrops, like trunks of elephants. So this is all pastime of the Supreme Lord. And everything is perfectly structured. So this is Prabhupada's argument that everything is perfectly arranged, everything is going on a perfect arrangement. So there must be a designer, there must be an engineer behind it. So everything is perfectly under the control of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Then there's quite a lengthy discussion about the Brahman and how there's also different categories of Brahmans. Some under the category of Jnani, some under the category of Kami, Brahmas, Jnani Brahmas, and Bhakti Brahmas. The Bhagavatam gives such amazing information. You can even understand about the Brahman, the creators of the universe, and in different categories. How even if one is the topmost personality in the universe, he also has to surrender to the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality Godhead, if you want to become liberated. Otherwise, no matter how big you may think you are in this material world, you'll be subject to the material conditions of repeated birth and death. That's why Krishna says, Pramanda Brahma Kapuna Abhutanujanaha. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. So, the Krishna's saying that even Brahma Loka, there's death because, I suppose, because more detail was given here, not all Brahmas are liberated. So they also must die. Because there also are statements that in Brahma Loka, there's no death, there's no misery. But here it's described that actually not all Brahmas are liberated. So, just like in our Parampara, we are in the Brahma Buddha Gaudiya Mata Sampradaya. So, the Brahma in our Sampradaya, he's a devotee of Krishna, he's a bhakta. So, and of course, it's described how this universe, we reside in the smallest universe. And the Brahma in our universe, he has only 4 heads. Whereas in other universes, he has 400 heads, 4,000 heads, 4 million heads, 4 billion heads. Because the universe is so big, so we need so many heads for creation. So there's that pastime when Lord Brahma, he wanted to see Krishna as walker. So he went to see Krishna, and he was greeted at the door by Krishna's doorman, and he said, "Yes, can I help you?" And I would like to see Krishna, I'm Brahma. Tell him that Lord Brahma has come to see him. So the doorman said, "Okay, just come here, take a seat." And then the doorman went to see Krishna, and Krishna told him, "Well, you go tell him that which Brahma, ask him which Brahma he is." Because Krishna could obviously detect some pride. So Dharma went and asked and said to Brahma, "Krishna wants to know which Brahma are you?" And Brahma said, "Which Brahma am I? I'm Lord Brahma, the Lord of creation, the creator of the universe. There's only one Brahma." So then he was asked, then he was allowed in, escorted in, and then he paid his obeisances to Lord Krishna, and then he asked Krishna, "Why? Why I'm had this query that I've asked which Brahma am I?" So, is there another Brahma? And Krishna just smiled and laughed, and immediately effortlessly manifested all these different Lord Brahmas, all the different universes, some have hundreds of heads, thousands of heads. And I all offered obeisances to Lord Krishna simultaneously. And I saw all these different Lord Shivas with so many heads were also manifested. So, our Lord Brahma, he was totally overwhelmed by what was manifested and totally humble. And he could understand that actually he is very insignificant. So what does it mean of ourselves, you know? What significance do we really have? Therefore, Brahma said that all we can do is simply Krishna's mercy that he accepts whatever little service we can offer. We should never think ourselves to be very big devotees. Out of Krishna's kindness, he's accepting whatever service we can offer him. So this is this is our natural position, is that we are simply humble servants to the servants. And if we always maintain this mentality that I'm very significant, but let me just offer whatever I can for the pleasure of the Lord, then this will give us perfection in our life.
just to become a humble servant of the Lord. So, even if we can't do very much, do a great deal of service, if we can just offer some service throughout our life, then Krishna will accept that and he'll be pleased with that. Spiritual master will be pleased with that. We don't have to become very big devotees. We don't have to perform very big activities. Of course, that is also there. Prabhupada said that was my one disease, that I'm always thinking big. And we are following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, so we should try to cultivate that mood also, that trying to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. That we should try to assist the preacher mission as much as we can to the best of our ability and capacity. But ultimately, as Prabhupada will constantly remind his disciples that everything is going on by Lord Krishna's mercy, by Lord Krishna's will. So we just have to try to become a part of, as Prabhupada would say, like a screw in a machine. So we have to try to somehow remain fixed in that machine of Krishna. Because when the screw is out of the machine, it becomes worthless. But even an insignificant screw has its part to play in the overall running of the machine. So, Prabhupada said, "It's gone with my body." So we try to serve Lord Krishna by serving the ISKCON movement, by trying to assist the ISKCON movement, because Krishna is fully manifested in the ISKCON movement. He's not different. And Lord Brahma even came down to assist the preaching when he appeared as Hare Krishna. So we just try to become humble servants. Sorry, I'm not very realistic. Maybe I'll finish here. Do you have any comments or questions?
You were saying this one is not a good place for the internet. Like there are other Vishnu Sampradayas in India where people actually are perfect day, almost perfect day. But you know, because they are not in this Hare Krishna movement, will that still they are not ignored, because until they don't come to this movement, they will not go back to Krishna.
They'll go back, but they'll go back according to their rush, according to their flavor, or because the four Sampradayas, they are bona fide. So we're one of the four Sampradayas. But it's just that Lord Chaitanya, he's appeared in his Sampradaya. Our Sampradaya is coming from Lord Chaitanya. So our mood is to follow the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And that is the Vrindavanas, to worship Radha and Krishna primarily. But the other Sampradayas, they're also worshipping the form of the Lord, like Lakshmi, Sri Sampradaya, Shiva, Rudra Sampradaya.
One of the Sampradaya which worship the Krishna in Bal Gopal form. And actually we saw Sampradaya are diminishing in India now rapidly. And people are just not like, if this is the movement which is increasing, the other Sampradayas are actually decreasing.
Yeah, well, it's actually said there are predictions that the four Sampradayas will merge into Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya. So apparently there are some predictions in some of it later in the scriptures, that in the course of time before the sanctified will come under one flag, the Lord's Son is saying come with it. But the sanctified then, because everybody has a different rapture with the Lord, has their own particular rapture, own particular flavor or feeling for the Lord, and some are in Vaikuntha Bhav, so they'll go to Vaikuntha. Some are in Dwarka Bhav, some are in, so some following Lord Ramachandra, so they'll go to Lord Ramachandra. Ayodhya, there's an Ayodhya in the spiritual world. So according to one's inherent constitutional relationship with the Lord, he'll attain that. And Lord Chaitanya, he preached that also, he said, he had some of his followers also, they were worshippers of Lord Ram, like Murari Gupta. And he preached to, he tried to, not convert, but tried to explain the superiority of the, or the, or the flavor of the, what's the superiority of the worship of Krishna, of the holy name of Krishna. But because Murari Gupta, he is an eternal associate of Lord Ramachandra, he couldn't give that up. He tried to chant the name of Krishna, but he just found himself always wanting to chant the name of Ram. So Lord Chaitanya, the next day, he embraced him and said that, glorious is that servant who never gives up his master, and glorious is that master who never gives up his servant. So maybe in course of time, because Lord Chaitanya is an incarnation of his age, he's not different from all these. He is the avatar, he's the form of all the avatars. So ultimately, even if you're not worshipping Lord Chaitanya, you are worshipping Lord Chaitanya, because he's the source of all the incarnations. So naturally, his sampradaya will come to the fore, will come to as to become the dominant sampradaya. But there are mentions apparently that the four sampradayas will merge into under the banner of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtana. I've just heard it said. I've just heard statements about that. So, which where it's actually written, I'm not sure. Maybe might be in Chaitanya Bhagavan, or maybe it's just a few states. I'm not sure. But it is apparently the statement. Well, if he's the greatest, as it's said in purport, if you're the greatest speculator, you become the Jnani, Brahma Jnani. And if you become the greatest fruitive worker, I suppose, you become a Kami Brahma. Shiva's not Vishnu Tapa either, he's on his own Tapa,
yes,
Shakti Tapa.
Yes, yes.
Shiva, I don't think, can Shiva be Jiva Tapa as well? Because he's in his own unique category.
I think he can be Jiva Tapa too. Because I read two days ago that he could do even more than that. You can approach him.
So yeah, it says that if you perform your Vaishnava Dharma perfectly for 100 births, then you take birth as Brahma. Yeah. And it's also said that if you perform the sannyas ashram perfectly for 100 births, you take birth as Brahma also. That's the sannyas. So Prabhupada said that even if it's not a qualified jiva to take the birth as Brahma, then he takes birth as Brahma. So Krishna also appears as Lord Brahma. So it's kind of like the position is there for someone who's qualified. You know, if you get to a particular qualification, then you can get the post of Brahma. You can be the greatest living being in the universe. So you can attain that by different categories of being the greatest jnani, the greatest kami. So, yeah. Is that clear? So it's just a position in the material world. It's just like Prime Minister or President, you know, it's a position as Lord Brahma, but you have to be unique, incredibly qualified to attain that position. And there are references as much as saying that if you perform your Varnashram perfectly for 100 births, and that's one way of attaining the position of Brahma. But it's also stated that when the jiva first falls in the material world, then the first position he takes is also as Lord Brahma. So there's also statements that say that when we first fall from the material world, from the spiritual world, we come to this world, then our first birth is as a Lord Brahma. And then we can see what it's like to lord it over the material universe. And then, there are many universes, but maybe it's the first of the line or something, the first of the front of the line. But that, yeah.
There is also a mention that this movement will reach to, at one point, will reach at the one stage where there will be a beginning of almost like Sati Yuga in the Kali Yuga. So what are the symptoms like? What is there anything mentioned in the Bhagavatam for Sati Yuga?
There's a conversation between, it's not in the Bhagavatam, it's in some other Purana, that at the time, just before Kali Yuga, Lord Krishna had a conversation with the holy rivers, Yamuna, Ganges, and I think Sarasvati, and he said that for the first 5,000 years in Kali Yuga, the living entities will become purified by bathing in the holy rivers, but after 5,000 years, the holy rivers will become too polluted because of all the sins. So then Krishna said that for the next 10,000 years my devotees will appear and they will chant the holy names and spread the holy names all around the world, and the conditioned souls become purified by associating with the devotees. And Krishna said that for 10,000 years. And then he said after that 10,000 years Kali will just reign for the rest of Kali Yuga. There's also Prabhupada made references many times also that there'll be a period of 10,000 years, a golden period within Kali Yuga, which the Sangatana Muni Lord Chaitanya will spread. And he said even spread throughout the universe, will go beyond this planet to the whole universe.
And to bring it to the level of Sati Yuga, and people will be so much
I don't know if, I know Bhaktivedanta was talking a lot about you'll be like a Satyayuga, but I think what I've read that, about that conversation, what Prabhupada said, that it'll just be a golden period of the Sangatana movement because of Lord Chaitanya. And that, you know, Lord Chaitanya and Sangatana movement will just spread more and more and more. So it'll even be beyond the Satyayuga, it'll be like another Dvaita Dhamma. Do you want to say anything about that?
I heard that it was after
cosmic
partial cosmic annihilation that
such a
would come.
Oh yeah, I was talking like in the Kali Yuga there's going to be like a 10,000 year period. So we're in that now.
The prediction is that in every town and village temple bells will ring. So it would be a very quiet situation.
Yeah, but it won't be like Satyayuga where people will live for 100,000 years.
No.
Or anything like that.
And people will be realised, God realised.
Yeah, yeah. So we're in that now. It's, you know, really, it started when Lord Chaitanya came down 500 years ago. Jai. Thank you, Chris. Natural Chinobatan, Chilo Prabhupada, Welcome to the